Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Access Astrology, as three astrologers from around the country talk to you about the week ahead, how you can use this time and answer questions. Later on the show, we'll be giving out the number and asking you to call in. But tonight, this is Heather Roland Robin speaking to you from the newly melted North Dakota. We were under snow last week, but we are seeing a little bit of the fall weather again. And we also have Mark Wolps in New York. Mark?
Mark Wolps in New York, enjoying some little taste of fall here and there between the rains. So we had a rainy summer. We're now having a rainy fall. And there's nothing classic going on at all. But, you know, no earthquakes, no fires. And so we'll take it.
Right.
Well, that's a good start.
Ann Ortley. I'm on the Upper East Side at my bright red desk, enjoying a lovely night. And I just was in from a delicious meal of eggplant parmesan and a little glass of wine, so I'm very mellow and happy. I'm a happy girl right now.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah,
and the moon is in Scorpio tonight.
Yes.
And bringing us, it's squaring the gang of three, the Jupiter-Neptune-Chiron conjunction. And Mars has just gone into Leo, so there's some interesting relationship dynamics that'll be kicking in. And one of the pieces that I'm seeing as key for this week, we have the Sun in Libra, Mercury, Pallas Athena, and Venus all in Libra, trining the gang of three. We have Mercury giving voice to it, that this week we need to talk about relationships, nurture our relationships, and get them feeling equal, open, happy, not analyzed, not poked, but nurtured. Fertilize all of our friendships and all of our dreams and all of our intentions this week before the sun goes into Scorpio and we head into the kind of more introverted, intelligent, but a little snarky Scorpio season. So this week, Mars has just gone into Leo a couple of days ago, and Mars into Leo, suddenly everybody needs a little extra attention. We really hate being ignored. This will clash as the sun goes into Scorpio at the end of the week, and tonight's moon in Scorpio, with the part of us that needs to be alone. And so you'll get hot and cold from people. You know, I want to be alone, I want to be with you, I want to be alone, I want to be with you. And we can feel that in ourselves. You kind of a little snarly edge, but really wanting to be supported, really wanting to be appreciated, wanting the world to tell us we're good at what we do, please, and at the same time saying, I don't need you, I need time alone. But between those two poles of the Leo and the Scorpio lies the Libra balance. This is the week to fertilize that, nourish that. Mark, what are you seeing coming in the week ahead? What do you think that they need to keep it on their eyes most?
The sun going into Scorpio, that's always a nice part of the season for me. You know, I like the Libra energy, but then somehow that digging deep and digging in that comes with Scorpio, I like that. And actually, one of the reasons I like the fall season so much is that I like Libra okay, but I really like Scorpio and I really like Sagittarius. So, you know, that's the fall. And, you know, we move Libra pretty quickly usually. And then take some time in Scorpio. It really feels like fall the whole time the sun's in Scorpio. And then when it goes into Sag, at some point we start to feel like we're losing fall and moving into winter. But there's something about Scorpio that has a lasting quality to it. So I always like that. And that's happening this week. On Thursday, well, actually Friday, very early in the morning on the East Coast, and it's happening on the West Coast Thursday late in the evening. So here we are, and what else is going on? We have Mercury, you know, as you mentioned, doing its little thing, and the Sun, right after it goes into Scorpio, sextiles Pluto, which is nice. You know, the sextiles are a good energy, something we can work with. There's a kind of understanding between them. And so many of the things going on with Pluto have been squares, and it's been tougher kind of energy with Pluto. So the announcement of Pluto in Capricorn has felt a lot tougher. But this Sun into Scorpio, which is a Plutonian sort of energy, sextiling Pluto, will give us a sense of positive toward Scorpio energies, which are all about, you know, looking deeper, understanding on a deep level, taking the time to go deeper and to really feel things on multi-levels. And that'll feel okay. And I think we'll get, actually, during this week, kind of a new understanding of what Pluto and Capricorn is going to bring and how we can sort of research it more rather than have to react to it.
Uh-huh.
You know, up to now, it's been sort of a flexing of muscle. And this, you know, it can be like, okay, I need to stay with the outer form as much, and, you know, we can go a little deeper into why things are the way they are. Anyway, that's my feeling of what this week is going to be about.
Mm-hmm. And Anne, what's your top notes about this week?
Well, I actually was noticing Mercury, because he's really, really active, and he's kind of leading the planets. He's ahead of everybody. And one of the things with Mercury is he's, you know, he's got many, many names, and he can do many, many things. But one of the things he does is he's, you know, he's a communicator. And so when he is in Libra, he's going to form a really positive flowing aspect to the dreams that have been kind of deferred over the last 6 months or so. And there's the gang of three that we've had rolling through the sky, which is Neptune and Jupiter and Chiron. And those three guys are all saying to us, well, what was your dream? And, you know, it's not happening. And so that dream that you had, great idea, but no, back to the drawing table. So since last spring, basically the planets, those three guys have been going backwards saying, no, not happening, since May time frame. And now May, June, and now they're all starting to station again to go forward, because Neptune and Chiron both go forward in the next month, and Jupiter just went forward last week. So now Mercury is saying to them, because they've been kind of working, reviewing the dreams since last spring, and he's saying to them, okay, so, like, what's the dream now? And he's in a trine to them, which is a harvesting energy. So the work that you've been working on since May, June, about revisiting your dreams or revising them or relooking at them and saying, well, that was my dream, but I don't know that it is anymore, or I had this dream, but now this person left or that situation changed or this ended, and now that isn't my dream. Well, maybe it is your dream, but maybe not with those people, or maybe it is your dream, but not under that circumstance. And so this week when Mercury comes to trine them, he's going to have a long conversation with them and say, okay, let's get the dream moving again. And he also has an inconjunct to Pluto or to Uranus saying, let's break it up a little. Let's break up that sadness, the lethargy, the lethargy, the feeling that, you know, you're not able to have it, and let's revision it on a new way. And he's an air sign, so he's going to be presenting, well, you could do it this way, you could do it that way. And they're going to be going, well, we could do it this way, we could do it that way. So it creates for a lot of chatter and a lot of optimism and a lot of vision about, well, okay, how can we do it? You know, so, like, what can we do? What's the new vision? And so, you know, like Hillary negotiating peace between the Turks and the Armenians, it's like, wow, you know, they've been fighting for years, you know. And it's a visioning of the new thing. It's, you know, Monty Python's 40th anniversary. You know, and, you know, the Ministry of Silly Walks, where we all kind of got a whole sense of, gee, you know, people different than us, they can be pretty funny too. And it's understanding we're having this negotiation now this week about what our new dream is and what we want it to look like, because the old dream not working, new dream's not in yet. But when it comes in, what do you want it to look like? And that's, I think, what I find really exciting, because All the stuff in Libra presages Saturn going into Libra in a couple of weeks,
right?
And saying to them, we're ready for the new distance, the new vision, the new whatever. So I think it's kind of cool.
And that will be exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think Walter's like, whew, we've been doing deep, hard work. I know Saturn doesn't stay out of Virgo, you know, and I have plenty of Virgo in my chart, so I don't really mind anything being in Virgo. But I think Saturn tends to restrict whatever it touches, and it's been restricting the whole work world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it, even though it will head into Libra in a few weeks, it goes back into Virgo in the summer, I mean, later on in the year, and tightens things up one more time. But I think that we'll see a shift in the in employment records when Saturn gets out of Virgo. I really am hoping.
You mean we're not going to be living with a 15%, 16% unemployment?
Yes.
I mean, they're only
exactly.
reporting 9, but they're not including all the people that gave up, that can't find work, that are underemployed, whose benefits have disappeared and aren't being counted anymore, you know?
But, you know, I tell you, when I look at the astrology of this year and I look at the history of similar astrology, I think, you know, bad as it's been, it could have been a hell of a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it kind of reminds me of our finances in the house that we were struggling, that we blew the engine on the car, we had to scrape another $4,000 together to pay for the new engine on the car, and now after scraping that $4,000, we're at the same place that we were before the car broke down, right?
Sure.
But, you know, we're managing. But and I feel lucky for that. But that $4,000 has made me feel lucky that we were managing before.
Mm-hmm.
I see the whole country as having gone through something similar. You know, we've been really struggling these last 9 months. It could have been so much worse during this time. And the fact that we're struggling and beginning to rebuild, even in 9 months, is a sign of how much work has been going on behind the scenes, how much work had to be done. And I think there's so much more that has to be done to keep it, to bring it to stable. But we see that with the Neptune trining that pile. We see, you know, with a trine and the Sun sextiling Pluto this week, with those nice trines and sextiles, you know, we can space them out. You don't have to pay attention. Those aspects can, you know, you just might curl up with a good book and avoid the week. Sometimes we miss the best transits because they're not pushing us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so when the stress is off this week, it'll be tempting to coast in the relationship and not try to rock the boat. But while things are good, it's a time to talk about not the serious problems, but how to work better together.
Mm-hmm.
And while, you know, we might be able to take a deep breath because the wolf is a little, you know, something, we don't feel quite so pressured by life this week. Well, Mercury trines those planets of the dream. Is the time to say, what can we do towards that dream? What new contacts can we make? What ideas can we put out there? What work can we do on our dream so that we can take advantage of these, of this little, it's like a break in the clouds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The last couple of weeks have been so moody as Venus and Mercury squared Pluto that a lot of people, you know, just thought they had a lot to do and just couldn't get going because their heart hurt or something brought them to sadness. So they were so focused on what the problems were or how scared they were or move into a fear place or a sadness place or just a processing place that it was hard for them to get going on any of the potential, even when things were going well. But I did hear that those squares did send people back to their spiritual life. To a lot of people have talked to me this week about starting to meditate more, that they had kind of gotten out of that when they were so focused on their fear.
Right.
And
that's the Mercury trine to the Jupiter. It's like, oh, I remember this.
Yeah.
Felt really good. I need to make sure I do this. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that sometimes that Pluto says, hey, nothing on the material world's going to work for you.
Mm-hmm,
so you might as well go to the spiritual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing this in relationships where they're just stop talking about the one thing that's been driving them nuts and start remembering that they like to take walks together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the one thing that you can build on this week? And strengthen the relationships by working with what's working.
Right.
And that can be the relationship with your dog, your health, your muse, your book, your creative process, you know, your relationship to the divine. It doesn't have to be in relationship. So it's just important that be fed. With Mars in Leo, whatever you pay attention to, bad attention or good attention, worry or otherwise, will grow.
Mm-hmm.
So to really use poor attention onto the people and the things and the projects in your life that are working, and don't pay attention to what's driving you nuts and you want to go away.
Right. Well, and I think when we see the, you know, the whole concept of Mars entering Leo, he's going to be in that for a really long time.
Really long time.
Yeah, so we've got a long period of time to work with Mars and Leo. And one of the things that I know that I've seen a lot in my folks is that, you know, like, well, my life's gone to shit. You know, this is gone, that's gone, this is gone, that's gone. So I might as well do what I always wanted to do anyway.
Right.
And I'm following my love now. I'm following my passion or my thing. Now, you know, there's people that go, well, you know, do what you love and the money will follow. And sometimes that's true and sometimes it's not. But the point of it is they're saying, I'm ready to go give myself permission to go and do what I love. And so with Mars and Leo, what he's going to be acting as an agent for is your sun. Whatever your sun wants, which means, you know, if you're a Virgo, it's about service. If you're a Libra, it's about relationship. If you're a Taurus, it's about, you know, building, growing things and making, owning things. And Cancer, it's about nurturing. Mars is going to go and try and get new stuff for you in that area so that while Saturn's in Libra, you can partner with your sun in a different way. And
right.
So he gets forward for a little while, and he stops in November. But this time between now, not November, December, this time now, while he's in that early throes of Leo, where he's so pumped up and he's so excited and he's so like, oh, yeah, let me go, he's got this push to really go for it. And I think that's the thing to watch, is that energy of, my love, my life, this is my passion, let me follow it. And, you know, if I make money doing it, if I don't make money doing it, it's what I believe that turns me on, that makes me happy. Let me go do that. And then the other stuff is okay, but I'm going to give myself permission to have that passion because maybe I didn't before and now I really want it. I mean, I understand what's important to me. And
mm-hmm.
and that's
yeah,
important.
That's Mars and Leo.
Yeah.
Definitely. You know, there's a. If you look at it carefully, you'll see that praise should just simply be do what you love.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, you can put in parentheses, and might follow.
Mm-hmm.
But the point, and this is Mars and Leo, is do what you love.
Do what you love.
Because the fact is that it doesn't always follow, and for the people that it doesn't follow for, we never hear their stories.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They just disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So the only stories we hear are from the ones who succeeded. Say, wow, I just did what I loved. And look, the money followed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be a little careful on that and keep it in parentheses and say it might follow, but that's not the reason you do it. That's what Mars and Leo shows us.
Yeah.
Is just,
and sometimes I'm seeing that and Mars is going to be there through June. Normally Mars spends 2 months in a sign. And it's, you know, so we've really got a lot to deal with.
Yeah,
how do you honor what you really want and do it in a practical way? Honor what you really want and not take away what somebody else wants. You know, how do I be the center of the universe and you? How do I practically do what I really want and give it form, give it action? And it seems like with that Mars and Leo, sometimes, you know, what we think we want, we're noticing that we're not quite backing it up with the action, or we notice that there's actually something that we want even more, and we're not quite owning that the energy is split around it,
or we're not really ready to go do it.
We're called to do something elsewhere. We've got to go be a warrior for something else for a little while, and you know that Mars wants action.
Right. Well, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I've got a people that are like, well, you know, and it's like, no, what do you want? And it's like the whole point with Pluto and Capricorn is you have to do your Saturn, because Capricorn is going to be talking, Pluto's going to be talking to Saturn, saying, are they doing their Saturn? Are they doing their work? on Earth, the work that they're here to do, karmically. And on some level,
that's
what you
want. And that's not always the work we want to do.
But that's the work that we're here to do, and that's the work that there's a part of our Saturn. You know, when I look at people's Saturns, that's always the thing they're really drawn to. They might be afraid of it. But this with the Mars in Leo is going to make us a little braver to go give ourselves permission to go do it, and instead of avoiding doing our Mars, instead of avoiding doing our Saturn, we're going to feel like, gee, you know, maybe I have a little permission to go do this now because nobody's watching or nobody's paying attention. And also,
nothing
Mars
else is working
is a good selfish sign, and I like that selfishness because it says, look, I got to do my thing. If I don't do it, my life is going to be over. You know, and I think the Summer of Death, where we had all these celebrities croaking, made us very aware, like, life is short. And people I know certainly had major changes going on in their lives, too. And it's like, well, yeah, you don't have a whole lot of time. So you can sit here and talk about how you always wanted to do that, but if you don't go do it, clock's a ticking, baby. And Pluto in Capricorn is really making us aware of how fast time is passing. We are in fall, man. You know, it's October. It's going to be November soon. It's like, where the heck did the summer go? How can it be Christmas already, you know? And it's here. It's going lickety-cut, so are you doing what you love? And if you're not, you're not getting paid to do the shit you hate. Go do the stuff you love, you know? What is it? What makes you happy? What makes your heart sing? And I think it's like you may not be paid doing it, but do it anyway because it inflames your Mars. It makes your Mars passionate and happy and joy in loving what it does. And then you have the extra energy to go do the other work that maybe isn't as much fun, but that is part of, you know, part of who you are. So it's fascinating. It's just kind of one of those, yes, yes. So I'm excited about this week. I'm actually thinking it's like one of the few nice weeks we've had all fall. So.
I think
it's going to be a good day. Good week.
So
what's the number for people to call in? And then let's talk about the person that sent us an email. What's the number if you would like to call?
347-215-8881 is our phone number. 347-215-8881. Well, while we wait for the call.
And then what do you do? What do you do to get on the queue?
Oh, and then when you call in, you'll hear us talking on the show, and you press 1 to get in the queue for us to see you to be able to pick up your phone call. Because sometimes you can just call in and listen, and we don't actually see you. So.
And so someone sent in a question, which was lovely, and we're trying to figure out how to make that question useful for her and for other people. Now, she asked about doing her Saturn, I believe, and she asked about relationship. Mm-hmm. And all of that. And, you know, one of the things we like to do when we're bringing up a chart and bringing up a question is to make it useful for other people trying to learn astrology. Whenever you see someone with this many planets in one sign in Capricorn, you know that the sign opposite it sometimes takes the shadow or the energy of it to balance. They have to really live out the opposite sign in order to really get at that lineup in Capricorn.
Right.
So her moon in Cancer.
Give the chart coordinates for people who are the astrologer people following along at home too, so they can pull the chart.
As in January 7th, 1970, at 11:27 p.m. in Berkeley, California.
Right. Okay. Forward. Keep going. Didn't
mean
to interrupt. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I didn't mean to interrupt. I just kind of, you know, put that in.
Well, it was interesting that she asked about a relationship question right under the new moon in Libra, which we had last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And the new moon in Libra squared her new moon in Capricorn.
Mm-hmm.
So from her first house, and it seemed to be really waking up her whole issue around relationships. That also, and that had filled up her cancer question. And she, you know, she asked about a person who was an Aries. So you've got, interestingly, all the 4 points of the cardinal sign. Her lineup in Capricorn, her progressed moon in Cancer, which is the cardinal sign opposite, the new moon in Libra, which is one corner of the square, and the relationship that she was asking about was an Aries. So it's all 4 corners of the cardinal square. So it strikes me as a very kind of spicy and intense question. Now, her Aries luckily has a lineup in Taurus, which trines to her Capricorn. And so you'd see that, to me, when the sun signs are so at odds, but the interior planets are so connected, because the person she was asking about, April 10th, 1970, but she didn't have a time or place. We do know that he has Mercury, Venus, Saturn, and Mars all in Taurus, that they don't always get along on a basic daily level with the sun squared, but they have this strong attraction with their interior planets all trining each other. They have a strong attraction, and it's going to be up to them if they can give each other enough room to not do dueling control issues, which cardinal signs can do. What did you see when you looked at this at these charts, Anne?
Well, I thought that the thing I noticed was with all that Capricorn stuff was Pluto enters it. Part of the energy is really about saying, oh, okay, gee, let me really see what's out here. Let me really understand the bigger picture in this. And Pluto entering in Capricorn kind of woke up all that, and it said, okay, now I'm ready to really experience my Capricorn planets on a whole new level. And in that capacity, all those Capricorn planets, when Pluto entered the room, said, okay, let me step up. And a lot of times when you're in a relationship with someone, they do fill out the empty spots in your chart. They fill in the T-square's leg. They help form a cardinal cross, because the purpose of the person is to help you move into some new level. So I always find that the Capricorn people try and understand what's going on. You know, it's very practical, down to earth, and that the fire people just kind of fly off, and not that, you know, we love the fire people, but they do kind of tend to go off, and the earth people go, wait, don't leave me behind, remember me. And so there can be a little bit of a sense of, you know, you're always running off and leaving me, and the Capricorns don't understand that that's what the fire people have to do, and they'll run back. But they do run off. And I didn't, you know, she didn't really go into great detail about what the relationship issues were. But it really brought to the fore that, you know, when you're in the mode with someone whose elements are aspecting yours, but that are not necessarily linked to yours, that there can be, you know, they're aspecting yours, but you're in a place of saying, okay, they aspect me, but I don't connect with them. I don't understand them because they're earth and I'm fire. You realize how different the elements are. So I kind of thought, oh, the elements are fighting, and she's having a Pluto transit, so she's just really feeling kind of beaten up by the energy. That was the sense I had. So, Mark?
Hmm?
Mark?
Yeah, you know, in terms of doing Saturn, she has Saturn opposite Jupiter natally, and that's always tricky because the area of expansion and optimism is opposite to a sense of duty and that kind of rational thinking and a little bit the grimness. So, you know, there's this struggle, and it's a tendency to go back and forth. Things are either just happening, you know, wildly, wonderfully, or nothing's moving and I have to be, you know, limited and be disciplined. You tend to go back and forth, kind of a seesaw. And then, you know, both of them square Mercury. And so the attempt to work with thinking and the mind is all drawn into that drama of Saturn and Jupiter facing off. And what has to happen is to pull those two energies closer together so that Jupiter and Saturn can begin to work together and say, well, if I can have fun but keep my responsibilities in mind, then it'll go. Mm-hmm. Or if I can, you know, do my expansion in a sort of measured way, then it'll go. And those things then, they relate back to that Mercury, and it sort of feeds into it, but it's through a struggle. Well, now here comes Pluto into early Capricorn, and it's actually trining the Saturn and sextiling the Jupiter. So Pluto's there to help. And, you know, with this big job of working Saturn. And what that means is during this year, it's a good time to work Saturn by really examining where your center of power is and looking deep into your own resources and saying, what do I bring to the table? And what do I bring to the table if I'm at the head of the table? And that's what Pluto in Capricorn is allowing, and it's trining the Saturn in Taurus. So you have your chance during this year to go to the head of the table, take that spot, and see what it is you bring when you're in that spot. Doesn't mean you'll always be there. Doesn't mean that that's the best place to be. But it is a time when you can experience that and see, you know, what do you have within you that you pull out and use when you're placed at the head of the table? Don't shrink back from it. And you'll find expansion through it then. So I think that's very exciting to look at Pluto that way. If you look at relationships, you want to remember that Aries on the descendant. And so she looks for someone who has a lot of fire qualities and cardinal qualities, and she brings that to the relationship herself. So, yeah, she can have a hard time with the fire people wanting to run off, but it's something she likes, too. And, you know, Saturn's right at the edge of that house, which there's always a little sense of limitation, a little sense that there could be more, or that it takes a certain amount of work, but it's way at the edge and sort of starting to sneak into that eighth house rather than the seventh. But, you know, there's something of that Aries quality that makes a relationship real for her.
And I always feel like when it's an Aries-Capricorn relationship, the Capricorn people need to say to the Aries, oh, run ahead and do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go along and do what they want to do. And then the Aries people run back and they say, oh, run along and do that. You know, give them jobs to do. Give them things to fetch. Give them things to hunt. Because eventually they're going to come back tired and they're going to sit down. And then the Capricorn's happy. Not so much the Capricorn, but the Taurus and Saturn is happy. But it also is a hunting sign. So you recognize the Aries need to hunt. And Capricorn doesn't understand the desire to hunt unless it needs something. When it needs something, it totally can go after it. But when it's not, you know, when it's not looking to hunt something, it's like, oh, I don't really need that. You know, I mean, why would I get that? I've got a perfectly good this here, right here. So,
right, or it sends out the Aries to get it.
Yes, sends the Aries off to get it because the Aries they love to fetch things, you know. So, you know, it's like.
But they hate to be told what to do, and that's where I see the Aries-Capricorn relationship has to go very carefully and respectfully of each one's independence. If the, you know, Capricorn thinks that they, I saw someone drinking out of a cup the other day that struck me as, well, we have to be careful of in any cardinal sign energy, as an Aries moon, I can say that, that said, I'm not bossy, I just have better ideas.
Mm-hmm. But they do.
On the cup. And I thought that was very funny, because the woman who had it is just like that. But that to watch out that they are respectful of each other's very different way of organizing themselves. If they can really respect that and not try to tell each other what to do, but sort of find ways of working together, it could be great fun.
Right.
But it with Gemini moon to the Capricorn moon is another issue that, you know, often the Aries with the Gemini moon, he'll be happy just talking about it, and she wants to see action on it.
Mm-hmm.
and that if she can be very careful not to live out any of her ambition through the Aries, but live out her ambition through her own life and accept him as kind of the cuddly Taurus and fun Gemini moon and, you know, interesting Aries energy, but not expect him to do anything that she thinks he should do, they'll be okay.
Right.
If she thinks she's running the show, she can just forget it.
Right. You never run the show with an Aries. Remember, the sun is exalted in Aries. You know, it is. They are the bosses. They win the.
Mm-hmm. They can be very great fun about it, but they're going to do it their way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is anybody on the line?
I don't see anybody, but that doesn't mean.
Okay, you want to give the line number out?
Number
one
out
time.
Again? Yeah, maybe they. You know, I'm not seeing them, but that doesn't mean my computer is like crazy right now. 347-215-8881. Again, the number for calling, 347-215-8881. So in the case of Sissy, where is her Saturn? So we can talk about what she needs to do her Saturn.
Mm-hmm. And then I want to also just, while we're waiting, talk a little bit about what we like to do as astrologers so people know a little bit more about our work.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That might be something to do. So what do how she, but can you talk about how people can do their Saturn? She has Saturn in Taurus.
And it's in the
What
house?
And it's in the seventh house, I believe. Let me get back to her chart if I had it right here.
Yeah, my computer's not showing it right now. I'm trying to get on.
It is at 2 degrees of Taurus in the seventh house.
Okay.
It's opposed Jupiter. It is squaring out of sign her Mercury at 28 Capricorn.
Okay.
And those are its major aspects.
All right. So her job is to be in relationship. I mean, you know, whatever house by sign Saturn's in, we look at that and we say, okay, that's the sign that Saturn's in, the house that it's in. So the focus of your Saturn in this lifetime is to be in relationships and to work on relationships. So by placement, you look at what house, because that's the area of life that Saturn wants you to focus and work with and grow in and to build your skills. And it's an area you're going to always feel a little inadequate just because it's Saturn. And you're going to feel a little bit like, oh, gee, you know, what the heck's going on? I don't know that I know how to do this. And so Saturn in a house is going to feel like it needs to focus on the area. So it's interesting that she wrote us a letter requesting information about being in relationships.
About relationships, yeah. Right.
And then the other part is Saturn in the sign of Taurus. You look at the sign that Saturn's in, and that's going to be for everybody born within a two and a half year period, they're going to have Saturn in the same sign. And so in the case of Taurus, when Saturn's in Taurus, Taurus is all about owning things, possessing things. I have, it's mine, I want this, I own this. And Capricorn, of course, are very practical, and they really, you know, the earth signs tend to be a little possessive. They like to hang on to things. So here she is in a relationship with a fire person who you can't hang on to. And the limitation of being able to own it or control it is part of what her Saturn job is. So every time she's in a relationship and she tries to say, oh, well, this is how it has to be done, the person in the relationship is going to go, no, I don't really want to do it that way. And her chart has to then figure out another way to get them to do what she wants. Or she has to say, oh, that's my Saturn saying to you, you have to do it my way or the highway. Mm. Now let me figure out another way to maybe approach this or another way to do something or a different opportunity of how to do it. And so the Capricorn piece is going to work with that Saturn and say, okay, I didn't say that right. I don't really want to boss you around. I just really would find it very much more respectful if you called me rather than standing me up. And so that Saturn in Taurus wants solid physical presence to show up, and she's going to attract partners that challenge that Saturn to set its boundaries and to say what it really needs. Did we lose Heather or did we lose Mark?
I think that was Heather.
That was Heather. That little bell ringing, people, that means somebody fell off the phone. Well, we do have a caller, so I will go click on the caller. And Heather will join us shortly when – I love our audio visuals. It's like half the show is people falling off the phone. All right, 347-215-8881, and we're going to try and pick up the caller. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, we're sorry. Caller, are you there? Can you hear?
Hi.
Hi. You're there.
Hi, it's Aoli calling from Rochester, New York.
Hi, how are you?
I'm not having a good time, actually, and I heard that you didn't have any other callers and you were talking about Saturn, so here I am.
Here you are. Okay. You're okay. The one that, yep, okay. Question. What's the question?
Well, you know, Saturn is now sitting on my Saturn. So February 14th, 1951, Evergreen Park, Illinois, 9:06 a.m.
Okay. So you're
I want to talk about Saturn some more. I need to talk about Saturn.
Well, Saturn loves to be talked about. He always makes him really happy. All right.
I mean, there's got to be some positive things. You know, it is setting off my grand trine, but it seems like there's a lot of challenging pieces here as well. And, you know, it's a big life-changing event. It's the second Saturn return.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've heard it said that as long as it's in Libra, it's really part of the second Saturn return. I don't know what your opinion is about that, the plural you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I happen to believe, yes, as long as it's there, you're still under the aegis of Saturn. He's the guy, he's in charge, he's the boss, and you are his slave. So your job is to say, okay, Saturn, you are my god or my, you know, whatever. I'm having you're in charge. What do you want me to do? And then show up and do it, because that's the easiest way to get him to be nice, is by doing what the work is ahead of you. And when you're having your Saturn return, it is a time of releasing a lot of things, because you're finishing up a 58-year cycle, and you're saying, it's a wrap, you know? I'm ready for the next chapter of my life, but in the meantime, I have to pack all these boxes and finish up all this stuff and get it out the door, and when I do that, then I'll truly be free, and I'll be able to go on to the next piece. So it's an ending time, you know, and so Virgo energy likes to hang on to stuff. Aquarian energy likes to look at it and say, well, you know, a pile here, a pile there, here, a pile there, a pile. It's got an energy of wanting to.
You've been to my house.
Hey, you know, I'm an astrologer. Yeah, it's like piles of stuff. So your job is every morning to get up and do like two piles. And you don't have to make them big, but you do have to do them, because that's part of the ongoing task of showing up and doing Saturn on a daily basis. And with the goal being, as Saturn goes into Libra, to make everything beautiful and gorgeous and wonderful and partnership-based, so that you're free to leave behind the work and leave behind the drudgery and leave behind the stuff you don't really want anymore. And go forward. And then also to think back over your life. Second Saturn return has a major opportunity for us to reevaluate where we come from, what our roots are, what our sources are, what our belief systems are, and then the heavens ask us to structure and say, okay, you know, what's the structure of your life? Does it support you where you are now? Does it support you where you want to go? And, oh, by the way, where do you want to go? Because you've just finished your biggest job, and now you're graduating and you're becoming a master. You're moving up to the next level. I mean, it's not, you know, Saturn doesn't say it like that. He grumbles and mumbles under his breath. You know, but then, you know, then you kind of go, okay, you know, we're ready. Let me go forward, and there's a forward movement to it. So anybody else want to weigh in? Heather, Mark? Mark?
We've all also talked about, you know, the yod that points to my 12th house with Mars and Venus and Jupiter and the moon's north node, and how, you know, planning sort of evaporates, and, you know, how I'm in a more specific way to my chart. I mean, how do those two things fit together?
Okay, I dropped off my cell signal. Dropped off while the birth data was giving out. Could you give me the birth data again?
February 14th, 1951, Evergreen Park, Illinois, 9:06 a.m.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, as you move into your Saturn return, you're going to feel that Saturn is square all over again. And you also have Saturn moon trine. So, you know, these are actually have a, there's a grand trine to Mercury,
yeah,
Aquarius. And
yeah,
you'll kind of get to that after, well, it'll kind of play around the Saturn-Uranus square. So if you watch what Saturn's doing, it's going to go as far as 4 degrees of Libra, then it stations, and then it goes back into late Virgo again, and then comes out again. So your Saturn return is spread out over the whole time that Saturn marches out to 4 Libra, comes back, touches your Saturn, goes into Virgo, comes out again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then once it's beyond that,
yippee!
it excites the Grand Trine, and that's really a chance for you to use your emotional stability, everything that you do to create emotional stability, you can then use for your Saturn and in exercising this Saturn return. So you want to think about that. How can I bring whatever it is that makes things emotionally stable for me in a way that I understand and communicate? There's, because you work with the air energy. Well, it's a thinking thing. So it probably has to do with how you work with other people, maybe to help them stabilize their emotional reality. But there is this emotional platform you're able to create. And look at that as you move through this second Saturn return and see how you can apply it. And then realize that as it's touching all those things, it's also going to square Uranus. And that's actually sort of after the Saturn return. It sort of moves into that. But think about what that Saturn-Uranus square means for you. It means that every time you start to set something up and you decide, oh, this is how things are going to be, then you get that square from Uranus. So that's going to happen with the Saturn return, too.
Which
like,
is a repeat of the Chiron from the God, right?
Go on. Hmm?
This is a repeat of the theme from the Yod as well.
Yes.
Setting
yeah.
things up,
yeah.
thinking like I maybe I know which way it's going, and then boom, the universe has some other idea.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But you know, you've been yeah. you know, Uranus is just leaving the conjunctions in your chart alone. So you've been practicing how to think fast on your feet for a while. You've been practicing how to think fast on your feet most of your life.
Amen.
You know, the Pluto conjunct your Chiron in the first house, one of the things I see so intensely for you over the next years is an identity crisis around who you are in relationship to your work and your relationships. And to remember, it's constantly remembering, like, that the tree root is the same no matter what color the leaves are turning or whether they're on or off the tree, that you are in transformation as so many planets you are being hit off, your Chiron, your Moon, your Saturn, and your Uranus are all being rung at various different points by Pluto, Saturn, and Uranus over the next 3 years. It's not going to get quiet for a while.
Yeah.
So it's you know, really not defining yourself by the outside, by your job, by the mood swings of the people around you, by what your identity used to be, but really knowing who you are underneath. That Gemini moon says, and all your mutable signs that are so good at being adaptable, keep saying,